Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, today is a great day. It's one of my favorite days. I love to have a panel. I kind of like it. I know that it's one of those things that you see in our society. There's a panel every time you turn on the television talking about anything. They've got a panel that says, all right, here's our professionals. Now listen to what they have to say. This is the best we got. Oh, this morning we have our youth pastor, teacher, preacher, a great communicator, loves the Lord and loves our young people, Wade Ford. I'm glad to have him on panel for the first time today. And then down at the end, our first appearance here also is Rachel Warren. Our children's pastor does a great job. Yeah. I knew she'd get a clap because all the kids are going to do something to, anyway, Rachel, we're glad you're here. Rachel grew up here and she got her education from our Christian school here, making an impact in life right now. And I think that she needs to share some from her heart today. Of course, we've got Deanne Daniel, one of our gifted teachers here and communicators at CMC. And we're glad Deanne's here. And then Adam, this wasn't a popularity contest, so anyway, yeah, you're losing if that's the case. Let me get back to Wade here. No, Adam's one of our teachers at CMA and great communicator, and your wife is always going to yell for you. So anyway, I want to start today by saying that with our vision, creating a place this year, mankind was God's desire. You need to know that. You are God's desire. Mankind was his desire. But when you read Genesis, it doesn't start off with God created man in his image and after his likeness. No, it says in the beginning God created a whole bunch of other stuff before man. Well, he worked really hard on creating a place for man to survive, and not just survive, but thrive, and then he would be able to have fellowship with him. I think a lot about that, and I'll be talking more on that this year, but I love the fact that God desired to have a relationship with man, and it wasn't just temporary. He set everything up for permanence. God set it all up for permanence. And so with that, we've got to know God didn't just create the earth for himself. He created it for man with his desire being fellowship. The sad thing is we've got a whole world that's not in communication with him. And see, each year we have a vision. And the first thing that I do is I start praying that people won't just see this vision for the church, but they'll see it for their life. And as they see it for their life, they'll start making adjustments so that by the time we get to December, that vision wasn't just for the church, it was a part of your life, and you can see a difference in December from what it started with in January. However, with that vision being implemented, you've got to get some tools and you got to be equipped this year to follow that out. And so I've been talking about this to some of our leadership since December. And so they've had some time to think about this. I did kind of put Wade on the spot. I just called him 2 days ago and I said, Wade, I need you to be on our panel. And he didn't even think yes or no. Yes, I'd be happy to do that. And so as he was praying about and he shared, and each one of them shared some of what God had laid on their hearts for the vision for their life this year, I thought it'd be good not just to hear from me about the vision, but to hear from some others about the vision that God's placed on their heart. And as Wade was sharing with me, he just shared some principles that I thought, you got to have this. This is a prerequisite for the vision this year. Wade, you want to share this morning?
Well, first thing I thought of is that, you know, God, he didn't just put man on a big ball of dirt and then scratch his head and try to determine, now what? And so he created everything, like the pastor said, he created everything that we needed beforehand. You know, Genesis 1, we've heard this in this ministry, I know, God said, and then he saw. And what did he see? He saw what he said. You know, but I want to say this, is And I can't point to a scripture, but here's what I want you to understand is this is what I was thinking. Is before God said, he had to have imagined, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
He had to have imagined. Because, in fact, whenever he said, let us create man in our own image, in our own likeness, there wasn't a man there for him to look at. So where did that come from? So he had to think about, God thought about, he didn't just jump into the middle of anything. God thought about everything that he's done. There was an imagination. It also says that we're created in his image and his likeness. And so we're sitting in a building today that someone had to imagine and think about before we ever broke ground. Mm-hmm. And we're created to be just like God. We're created in his image and his likeness. So when we go into this year and talking about and studying about and thinking about and reading about this theme, I want to encourage you is to think about this. We have to create a place in our minds. We have to create a place in our thoughts for God to work. It's not just creating a place in the facility or creating a place in the home. It begins in the mind. In what we're thinking. I mean, I can, and let me give you an example. I can say, okay, I'm going to create a place for me to get physically fit. And I can go out and buy the best gym clothes that will make me look buff. I mean, you know, they'll do that. I'll walk in and then I could be in the best styles. And I mean, you know, everybody could look and say, I'll be envious of everything that I'm wearing. I can even go out and buy all of the workout equipment that I can afford to buy and even go in debt buying it if I wanted to. But here's the thing. If I don't, I can buy a membership to the gym. But if I don't get it in my mind and I don't change, get ready to change in my mind the way that I think about physical fitness and the way that I think about my health, then nothing's going to change. I can walk around looking good in some workout clothes, but I'm not going to get physically fit. So I have to, before I do anything, I have to create a place in my mind. I have to think about, you know, I love James Gunner. I've known James for years, and I've heard him from Oklahoma to Missouri. I always knew James was there because someone would say something, and James would go, think about it. And I thought about him when I was putting this together. In order to create a place in any area of life, I mean, before you go somewhere, before you do anything, before, you know, even if I say, well, I'm going to drive to Oklahoma next week, you know, I'm going back, before I ever get on the road, I might not even have my map planned out, my route planned out. I may just decide, well, I want to just go driving today, just get things off my mind. But I've still thought about the fact that I'm going to go driving. So it begins right here. I have to create a place in my mind for God to be able to do things in my life. You know, in fact, in Romans 12:2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. And that starts in the mind. Let him transform you by what? By changing the way you think. And it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So it all starts right here in our mind. If we're going to create a place for God to move in any area of our life, it's got to start with our thinking. We've got to create a place for him right here first.
That's it.
When we think about creating a place, I think that we have to first of all understand that it really takes effort to create the result that we desire.
Yes.
And, you know, as a teacher, it's easy for me to stop and think about that and think, you know, there are a lot of students who put in the time and the effort while they're in class, and they listen, they pay attention, and they may even do well on a test, but a lot of them, what they're doing is just regurgitating what they heard because they're not spending time studying on their own. And what I have found is those that go home and study beyond the classroom, that they are able to apply what they've learned. And I think that is so true with us in church. I think that obviously y'all are very faithful. You're here on Wednesdays. You're here on this Sunday morning. But we need to not forget to study the word when we're at home. And we need to make time for prayer on our own. Because what we're doing is actually creating a place for God to move through us and for us. And I think that's important because so many times, you know, that first level is I want God to work for me. I want him to do something for me. I need his help in my life. But I really believe that the word teaches, and I believe that it is his heart, that he not only do for you, but he do through you. And the only way that we're going to get to that point where it's not just about us, but it's about ministering to those around us and letting him, just being a conduit for him, letting him flow through you, is by spending that time creating something outside of these four walls. Creating takes planning. You know, creating anything. You know, last Wednesday we talked about Kelly and I are creating a country cottage. And if you don't understand that, go back and listen to the podcast. But we're creating a shop. We're building a shop with living quarters. And then after that, we'll also be creating a home. And so what we have to understand is that there's much preparation time in creating anything. Kelly and I are tweaking the plans so much just for a shop. It's just a shop, and I can't tell you the amount of time that it takes. Oh, we need to put a plug in here, and what kind of window? No, that's not going to work, and we've got to scoot it down 3 feet, and this has got to move over 5 inches, and there's so much, but we're constantly tweaking it, and here's the thing. If we don't purposefully plan that time to create something, then what happens is the law of entropy kicks in, because you cannot create without intention. And it's true. You can't create without intention. You have to be intentional. And where there is no intention, then the law of entropy just kicks in. And so if you're not intentional, what happens is then something is created in you instead of you creating something. And it's just going to happen. Something happens. There's no stopping the creative process. But see, are you determining what's being created in you, or are you letting other outside forces create something in you?
That's great. I, as you're looking across stage here, there's different seasons of life represented. Obviously, you've got Rachel with no kids, no spouse yet. And then you got Adam with younger kids going 100 miles an hour all the time. And I mean, that's just part of the way your life is. Yeah. Wade, older kids, one still in school, one out. And then Deanne and I trying to figure out life with all our kids married. Woo-hoo! So it's a good season. But I asked the question, what are you doing with the vision this year in your home? I mean, yeah, we can talk about vision at church, but let's bring it personal. Every season of life is represented in this congregation. And so you may not have every season represented on stage, but young people, what are you doing with the vision this year? This is just not a mom and dad's responsibility. It's your responsibility. What are you doing? And so I asked each of them, and I loved what Rachel was sharing. Rachel, I want you to share a little bit about that question and how it hit you physically and spiritually.
So my sister and I live in a 3-bedroom house in Nixa, and we've recently been praying because we've had a person move out, so we've been praying for a new roommate to come in, and we wanted a good, solid Christian person who's going to be on the same page as us, a good, solid Christian girl that is going to be doing the same things, living the same things, we're going to be on the same page with. And so we've been praying for this person, and as we started this this vision for the year, I was thinking and praying for this person, and I realized that we've got this extra bedroom, but it's kind of become our catch-all room. It's got some stuff in it right now. We've had things that have come up, and we've pushed it into the spare bedroom because that's what's open, and we've slowly, things have migrated to that room, but we're praying for a new roommate, and we have no place to put her. And so I was just praying about that, and God was revealing to me, he's like, you've got to declutter that room and create a space for her to move into before you're ever going to be able to have that roommate come in. You've got to create the space necessary to house her, because nobody's going to want to move into that room that's already got a bunch of stuff in it. And so that can transfer over spiritually, and this is something that God's been working on me in the last couple weeks. What things are cluttering my space and restricting God from moving in? What in my life is not allowing him to move the things in that I'm believing for, I'm praying for, and I'm desiring? What are the things that are blocking that? What do I need to pack up and move out so that God can unpack the good and holy things that he has for me? Is the hurt that I'm holding on to or the unforgiveness in my heart keeping me from the healing and the peace that I'm praying for? We've got, in order to create a place, we've got to uproot the things that are just taking up space in our garden, to get out the weeds, get rid of it, so that we can plant the seeds that are going to produce something for us. And I was hearing Melanie talk the other day about, she's like, I just feel like I am just managing clutter. I'm just moving it around. We've got to get rid of it. Get it out. Don't just move it around. It's taking up space somewhere that we've got to clear for the things of God to be able to move in. So pack it up, move it out, get rid of it. You're not going to use it. Get it out of there.
Well, that's a really good thing to get knocked out before you get married, because what I've learned in the last almost 13 years of marriage is that men and women have very different ideas about what preparing a place actually means. Creating an atmosphere is a word that my wife likes to use a lot, that an atmosphere of peace. The problem is that she married a husband who is peaceful in just about any atmosphere that there is. Like, I'm okay. It's good. I can sit right here and I feel great. The Lord is with me right now. The other thing is, you're talking about trying to prepare a place for a roommate to get in. We are also in the stage of teaching our kids how to prepare a place in the home. You know, practically speaking, there's always something that you can do with the year's vision. And I just finished reading recently Samuel and Kings, and I couldn't help but notice when we talked about this year creating a place, David had a real desire to create a place for the Lord. But David never got to create a place for the Lord. What David did get to do was clean out all of the crud that was in the nation, all of the human sacrificing tribes, all the craziness that was going on there, and gather all the materials to get together so that his son could build a place for the Lord. And there's practical applications to this, and we're trying to create a great atmosphere in our house. We're at the same time trying to teach our kids how to do the same thing and prepare them so that they're ready to do the same kinds of things, so that they don't get off by themselves and naturally have those. We've overcome those things. There's always stuff that you work on, and there's always stuff to be worked on. Spiritually in our life, there are... I've been reading and listening to the Bible and studying it nonstop this last year, but it has not been in front of my children. It's been while I've been on the road. It's been while I've been in my bed at night or in the morning. It's been wherever I can get it in, and I'm getting it in as often as I possibly can. But this year, I really want to make that something that they see me do all the time, because I'm not. I might be creating a place for myself, but I'm not teaching them to create a place for themselves. And when you've got young kids, you've got to spell everything out. You've got to, well, why did we do that? Well, that means that there's never, my wife was just saying this morning, there's never not a teaching moment. There's always something that could be gleaned from it. But I want them to want to spend time with the Lord on a regular basis. Yeah. I want them to want a relationship with the Lord that is closer than mine. There are all kinds of things that we overcome as parents that we don't want our children to have to overcome, that we want them to be set up and go forward with that. So that's kind of spiritually and physically what we're working towards as a family.
Well, I like what he said. He said, you know, practically speaking, every area of life we're supposed to create a place. And just an example of that, and then I want to go back into atmosphere of the home, is we were walking from the sound booth to here, and Deanne asked the pastor about the stools. And I didn't understand that. Now listen, I didn't understand that until I sat on one that I'm sitting on one that they used last time. And if you see me moving around a lot, it's because I'm sitting here thinking, oh no, don't move. You know, and you kind of catch yourself in a bind. Well, she was saying, I have to hold my foot just to stand still because they slope off in the front. Amen, sister. So here's what happened. Because He said, practically speaking, every area of life, this vision fits into every area of life. So we're walking from the sound booth to this door, and she was asking him about that stool. And he said, well, we get a different stool. We'll go find out. And I said, you know what? You've got to create an area. You've got to create a place for this panel to take place. We can't just come in here. I mean, so every, and as I thought that, I'm like, every area. So just walking from there to there, I'm just seeing, man, this vision this year, you know, it's just applies to everything. Everything. My wife and I were discussing this yesterday in the home. And I asked her, I said, you know, I kind of read her the questions. Okay, well, how would I answer some of these questions? You know, and honestly, if I had a long, I read Adam's answers because he emailed them to us. And I'm like, man, I'm going to get up there and look like a buffoon because Adam's got it all. Hey, you know how Adam is. He's got it all lined out. And I mean, so, but then I just, Leah and I were talking and she said, you know, I haven't mentally plugged this vision in necessarily, but she said, I'm doing a lot of things right now that if you stop and think about it, really are in line with this vision.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about creating an atmosphere in a home. When my kids were young, I'm telling you, we did that. We did. I mean, our kids, everything, we created a place for our kids to grow and to love and to understand who God is, to learn and learn to serve Him. In every area, I remember whenever they were little bitty, I was in, and I did pray in front of them, and I was in beside my bed praying. I was praying in tongues, and I heard Wesley tell Allie, I think he's praying in Spanish, you know, so they do see. And if you have, if you're going to create that place, it does have to be in front of them. I'm doing the same thing. I'm listening up and down the road constantly, every day to work and all the way home. I listen to teaching. I'm trying to create in my mind and create a place. But it needs to be in the home.
Yeah.
So he's got younger ones. I've got one in school still and one out. And I'm telling you, it's different. It changes. So you can't just create that place for the little ones because here's the thing.
Well, that's true.
I've got two teenagers, and I can't just keep a baby's room. Now, whenever Wes and Allie both, before they were born, we prepared a place. I mean, we made a place for them. It was decorated baby, and it was all safety. That's not the room that they need today.
Right.
Well, it's good.
Yeah.
It's great.
We're talking, you know, 17 and 19, and they don't need the bassinet. They don't need the changing table. You know, the Bible talks about not needing, you should be eating meat, but I'm having to give you milk. So here's what you've got to think about in the atmosphere home. What stage of life are you in? Do you have, okay, that was great when your kids were younger, but now they're older. Now they're older, and I thought about this morning, and I'll stop, but we were praising, and we were doing worship, and I thought to myself, you know, whenever I go home, because I understand, and I'm feeling, and I'm in that place, that place was created here, and I'm seeing hands raised, I'm raising my hands, and then I'm like, well, whenever I go home, does that stop?
Yeah. Mm. That's a good question. Mm.
And if that does stop, then what we need to do in our homes is move out some of the things that don't line up with what's going on right here and bring in some of the things that I'm enjoying this. I'm in the presence of the Lord. He's everywhere with me, but I'm really understanding it right now. And if I leave here and I go home and I can't experience that, then I need to move some things out of my home and create an atmosphere and a place for God to move.
That is great. That is great. I love the seasons coming out because everyone's talking about where they are. And Deanne, I was reading some of what you had wrote and sharing with us on that, when you were talking about controlling, and I want you to share just a little bit about your heart on that.
Well, I think we've heard it somewhat this morning on the panel already, but creating requires controlling, and controlling our time, controlling our focus, controlling our environment. Yeah. All of that contributes to everything you've heard here. And, you know, we talked about 2 Kings chapter 4 on Wednesday in Elisha, and that's the story of where Elisha goes to the widow woman who is in need, or actually she went to him and said, you know, I need help. And he told her to take the oil and pour it into the pots. And so I don't have time to go through the whole story, but what I want to talk about on that is he told her, when you go to do this, shut the door. And what she was doing was controlling the atmosphere.
Yeah.
She was putting the world away and focusing on what she needed to do. And just like what we've heard up here about kids, that's what we have to do. It doesn't matter what the world says on how to raise your children. Shut the door on that and open the door and shut the door and be with the Lord. And even if you are at a phase like we are where the kids are out of the house, we still go to work. We still have influence with neighbors. Mm-hmm. We still are around other people. None of us live under a rock. Y'all are here. So obviously we communicate with others. So it's important that we know that if we are going to be creating something, we have to be controlling that atmosphere with our time and our focus. And, you know, if there's negativity around us, whether that's in the home or whether that's at work or with a neighbor, whatever the circumstance, it's important for us to ask some questions. Things like, how can we create a place for God to move and to be glorified in this negative situation? You know, think about it. If we're at work and we're at home, we can make those places a positive environment according to the word. How do we do that? Well, there's actually a lot that we can do. And part of that, and most of that, actually involves our behavior and our words. But where does our behavior start? It starts with our words. Where do our words start with? Back with what Wade was thoughts, saying. Yeah. It starts in the mind. You know, Pastor Tim says all the time, of course, he's referring to using the restroom and leaving the service, but he says you can need to and not.
Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of applies here, too. When you're talking to somebody and you feel like I just am going to tell them this, well, you may feel like you need to, but not. And when we start to walk in the Spirit and we have the fruit of the Spirit alive in our lives, then those things we can learn how to control those things and control our environment. You know, spiritually speaking, we shut the door on the enemy through prayer with our faith and taking authority over what is coming against us that is not of God. So it all works together. I'm amazed at how what everybody is saying, it all flows together because it's all about creating. So this part of it is creating requires control. It doesn't just happen. You have to control your environment.
Yep.
What are you thinking? What are you listening to? Who are you talking to? What are you saying when you're talking? Are you walking in the fruit of the Spirit? It just all works so together. What are we thinking? What are we saying? Are we controlling our environment with the authority in the name of Jesus?
Now, as we're looking at vision for every area of our life, we're looking for it at our homes, and I think that was good representation of what's going on in the different homes of the seasons of life represented here. But my next question is, what are you doing with the vision in your day-to-day life, at work, in your extended family? A lot of people spend time with family that doesn't particularly share their same thoughts in Christianity, but you're still around them. You're believing them to be saved. You're believing them for whatever it is. What is it are you doing with this vision on your day-to-day activities and in your life at work and so forth? Rachel?
So I've been wanting to, this year, just be more intentional and spend more time in my Bible reading, my studying, and taking more time. I've been really consistent about doing it, but I wanted to spend more time and dedicate more time to actually just getting to sit there and listen and get to spend some more time with the Lord in that. And obviously, that was going to take more time. And so I wanted to create that place for the Lord to grow and move in me, and it was going to require some time. And when I was in Leaders Academy, I can't tell you how many times I've heard Paul Kern and Adam and like all the teachers say, you don't find time, you make time. You've got to create the time. So in order to do that, I had to create a place for that time to happen. I've got to purposefully free up time I was spending somewhere else to create time for that thing that I'm wanting to do. Creating a place requires doing a different thing. You've got to change your course of action. You can't keep doing the same thing and want a different result. I had to set the alarm earlier. I set a reminder on my Bible app. If any of you need like I think it's so awesome. YouVersion, I'm just going to put a plug there. You can set an alarm, like a reminder, that it'll pop up on your phone and say, hey, have you read your Bible today? Hey, you've got your daily verse. Like that's so awesome. So I've been using that, setting a reminder, hey, it's time for you to read your word. And you can set it at a certain time. Limiting time on social media outlets and video streaming and all that stuff, I had to take time away from the other things where I was putting it to create time for the things that I desired. What am I changing? You got to think about what you're changing to accommodate the thing that you want to do, what you're seeking. It requires setup, just like Deanne was talking about. It requires a setup, but it also requires follow through. I can do all the setup necessary for me to succeed. And for example, setting my alarm 30 minutes earlier, putting that reminder out there. But then I have to make the move to follow through with that instead of pressing the snooze button. My alarm goes off 30 minutes earlier, but if I don't get up, it's not doing anything. I've got all the actions, I've set up, I've made the move to do what I need to do, but it requires that follow through of, okay, now I'm going to actually get up. I'm not hitting snooze. I'm not sleeping in any longer. I'm getting up and I'm doing what I told myself I was going to do and what I told the Lord I was going to do. And can I just put this out there? That 5 minute snooze button is a big fat lie. You're not getting any more sleep. It's not helping you at all. Just get up. Go ahead. You're already awake. Pop up out of bed. Let's get a move on. Let's go. It also has to be consistent. Once you've created it, once you've made that move, you've got to maintain it. It's little consistent and intentional steps, just like Deanne was saying, some of the others were saying, over and over. You got to keep doing it. You don't just do it one time. You've got to keep going, keep doing it, keep getting up every single day. Over and over. In Galatians 6:9, it says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We've got to stop quitting. It's going to take some time of being consistent for you to see the evidence of what you're doing. Last summer, and I haven't been as awesome about this recently, but last summer I started running because I was like, I want to get physically fit. I want to work on my I want to work on getting to be where I'm happy with where my body's at, and it's working for me, and I'm doing a good job of doing that and maintaining. And so I was running, and I got up every single day, and that was when I started seeing a difference, was when I did it every single day. When I only went a couple days a week, there wasn't any difference. It was when I was doing it consistently, getting up every single day. Now it's cold, and I don't want to run outside when it's cold, so I stopped over the winter, but
amen.
I've started getting up. I need to get a treadmill. But I had to start that. I had to get up. I had to do what I wanted to do to see the difference that I wanted to see. And then as far as work, something that I wanted to really create when I started working, I work at a vet clinic in Nixa at Seven Hills, and I really love all my coworkers. I've got some really great coworkers, but they deal with a lot of stuff. And so I wanted to create, and we all deal with a lot of stuff, but these are people that they don't have the same hope that we all have.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to create a space for them to be able to feel the freedom to come to me and say, hey, I'm dealing with this. Can I get some help here? Can I get some prayer? I really, really wanted to focus on the prayer as far as them knowing that they could come to me. And in order to do that, what I started doing was offering to pray for them and things that they weren't asking for. Oh, I've got this going on. I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to commit to praying for that situation, and then checking in on, hey, how's that going? Hey, what's going on with that? Where are you at with that? Is there anything I can help you with that situation? And when I did that, I created a relationship that allowed that space to open up to where, one, they trust me enough to come to me with that stuff and know that I'm not going to blab it to everybody else in the clinic.
That's good.
But secondly, that when I say I'm going to pray for you, I mean I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that to say that because I'm a Christian and that's what you say.
Right.
I mean that I'm going to be praying for you and lifting you up to the Lord. And so we've got to be genuine and caring with people if we're going to create a place for God to move through us in our work atmosphere.
That's
you know,
that's
something
really good.
That to go along with that, when you were first talking about getting out of bed and setting the alarm and doing all of that, if we can see the end from the beginning and keep a vision in front of us, that helps so much. It really does. If we are mindful all the time that we are creating something better in our life because we are creating a place for the Lord, if we can keep that vision, the Bible's plain about that. It says to write the vision, make it plain for those that run, that they'll keep going. And that's, write the goal down. And so if we can see that, it's a lot easier not to hit that snooze button, even though it doesn't do any good.
Yeah. Well, and day-to-day is where you get from, because I've got a lot of lofty thoughts in my head on a regular basis, out there dreams and visions, and not really, I praise the Lord for my wife all the time because she's so down to earth and okay, but what are you going to do with that? And so in the day-to-day life, I'm constantly asking, okay, do I do what I say? When I'm at work, when I'm at school, do I do what I say? When I'm at my other job, do I do what I say? And one that my wife appreciates more is, do I say what I'm doing? Lots of times men do without saying, and women just appreciate saying what you're going to do. Am I involving other people? I love what you said, involving people at your work. There are a lot of things that I feel like I can do on my own and not be bothered with anybody else. It might be faster, it might be easier, especially with young kids or young people. It's not as much of a hassle if I just go in and do what I know to do and then come out from it. But that's not why we're here. We're here for people. If Christianity, if getting saved was about going to heaven, we'd go there when we got saved. We're here because it's about people. Am I involving other people in my day-to-day life? I think the biggest area that I'm trying to work on and have been for the last couple of months, but it just plays right into this, is getting outside of my head and living in real life. These right here are really helpful, but they really have a tendency to take us away from real people and real time and real. And there is nothing like a face-to-face conversation with your coworkers. There's just not. When you mention that you're going to pray for them, the fact that you go and pray for them is good, but checking back in and saying, hey, how was that going with so, it just makes such a difference. And when you're working with people of the world, doing what you say you are going to do, you're in another level. That you said you were going to show up on time and you showed up on time. It just makes a big difference. I'm trying this year to talk to people wherever I go, and that is outside of my comfort zone. That is not what I would prefer to do. But I have seen the effects of God working through me just through saying hi and asking them how their day is going or what they like to do or if they've come here before or what. Just simple questions lead to so much, and that's something each of us can do on a regular basis. Just get involved in the people's lives that are around us.
You know what? They're talking about at work and how this applies in your workplace. Well, I moved into an environment that my supervisor is a Christian man. And he has created a place for us to be, have the freedom to live. And, you know, my employer does as well. I mean, it's a faith-based organization, so we're supposed to be able to, you know, to live out our faith there. But my supervisor is a very genuine Christian man. And so he has created the place on our crew to where it really encourages me to live out my life for Christ in front of my coworkers. And I'm in a position, because I work security, so it's oftentimes whenever I deal with people, it's dealing with the worst of them. And the worst, either, I mean, whether that's something going on in their life or, you know, just trauma or whatever has happened, homeless, but I'm dealing with the worst of people. Let me clarify that. What I'm dealing with is people at their worst. Okay, that's what I mean. Not the worst. I mean, at that particular time, they're at their worst. They're not at their best. And so it's real easy to get skewed, and it's real easy to get callous, and it's real easy, you know, to just make it a job and just do the job and do the job and do the job and not just take time to realize that God's placed me here. Yeah. And so whenever I came to work with a supervisor that made it easy for me to do that, I began to realize, you know, I'm really responsible to the Lord for what environment I'm creating here. And especially this year, I'm thinking, you know, he's only one person, okay? So, you know, cord of two many strands cannot easily be broken. So whenever I get together with him and we lock arms, here's what happens. is I had one of our coworkers come to me and say, man, because it was a tumultuous day. I mean, it was horrible. And he says, you know what? We really need to start praying before our shift briefings. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. And so he had the confidence because I'm living my life. And it, let me tell you, it's hard. I mean, I want to jump in and say the jokes and laugh at the jokes and you know, hee-haw and jee-haw with them. But I've got to realize that God has placed me there. And Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they will glorify, they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So in other words, be a living epistle in front of them. Don't preach to them, but just live your life in such a way that they will see what you're doing in the life that you're living and want to glorify God and then come to you and say, we really need to pray for our shift briefing. And so every morning before shift briefing, that's exactly what happens is my supervisor says, are there any prayer requests? And one after another, these guys who I'm sure by the way that they joke and carry on probably don't live for the Lord, but one after another, they're willing to say, hey, my dad fell and broke his hip, or hey, my wife is sick, or hey, I'm struggling with something, you know, that I'm just dealing with and I don't want to say anything, but will you guys pray with me? And one after another, they do that and we pray, and then actually the report's back. I mean, we get reports back. They'll come in and say, hey, guys, guess what? And so we need to create a place to where in our workplace and working with our people, we need to first off realize that God's placed us there. Yeah. We work for the Lord. We don't work for anybody else. We work for God. And it's our responsibility to create an environment and an atmosphere in our workplace for God to move in our midst.
That's great. We're almost out of time, but I want each of you to take one more moment and share what it is that's on your heart for the vision this year. I mean, we've talked about home. We've talked about our work and day-to-day life. I can't help but think of socially. You know, what are you doing socially? Entertainment. We've got areas that we're all in, and I think it's important that before we leave here today, we purpose in our hearts. What are we doing? I mean, I know what I'm doing today. I'm watching the Chiefs game. I don't know about anybody else. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you are going, I'm going bowling. This is not my phone. It's pink. I shouldn't have even picked it up. But you can watch this anywhere. Yeah. See, it don't matter where you are, you can create your environment that you want. And if you want to watch a Chiefs game, wherever you are, you got it.
Yep.
Or somebody close to you does. Wherever you are, you can create an environment because you are the church. And wherever you are, in home, in at work, in your entertainment, you need to be aware that you're bringing God. Are you letting Him shine through you in whatever environment you're in? What about, I mean, Rachel, go ahead and share.
So I just, when we were talking about this with the vision, I graduated from CMA, and I've heard so many times, like through CMA classes, different things that we've done, I've heard so many times the phrase, you become who you hang around. And it's true. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise and associate with fools and get in trouble. You start to become and look and act similar to the people that you spend the most time with. And now I'm not talking about the people that we're ministering to at work or mentoring, those ones. What I'm referring to is the friends and family members that we're spending all of our time with. What I've started to ask myself is, are the people that I let have heavy influence and access to my life creating a space for God in theirs? Are we going the same direction? Are we desiring the same things? Because people that have God's best interests at heart are ultimately going to have your best interests at heart. Because God's interests are always in our best interests every single time.
It's really good. I've really tried to simplify this year in my head. I bought a new, I'm at that in-between age. I'm still technically a millennial based on when I was born, but I'm still buying notebooks to take notes in for the whole year. So I got a new notebook this year. I'm coming to every service that there is. I'm writing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I bought one. I'm just saying, I this year I'm trying to do two things overall. I'm trying to fill myself up with the Lord every chance that I get. I'm going to be at every Sunday morning class. I loved men's breakfast yesterday morning. I really appreciated hearing from Bert. And what he said yesterday so ties into what I want to do this year, because as you fill up, as we all are constantly filling up, life becomes nothing more than an overflow of what is inside of us. And I am trying my best to fill myself up, because working in the ministry, that's been basically my only job, my only real job for most of my life. And after about 15 years of doing it, you get to a place where you feel like there's a time for you to be on. Like when you show up at church, you're on. And then there's times to just like, you loosen the belt and you sit down and you just... okay, we're off, and then we're on, and then we're off. I'm trying my best this year to never let there be a time when I'm off, because there's always somebody around me that needs what the Lord has shown me, and that I need to learn from them. And Bert yesterday was talking about how everybody in here, we're all in the same room, we're all listening to the same thing, but as soon as you are done here, we will all leave having heard something different. Everybody has such a different perspective on life, and I've learned in the last few months that I need to appreciate and love other people's perspective on things and not think that mine is right. And I'm looking for God to move as I fill myself up to just overflow and love on the people that are around me and just keep it simple.
Wrapping up, I think it's important to bring out the fact that creating is constant. Creating is constant. It's not something we've one and done. It is all the time. That ing means it is it's perpetual. It's all the time. And you know, so many times we do something and then we're done with that project and we created something. You know, I'm reminded of Kelly as a craftsman, and sometimes for Christmas, he'll make things for people. And in the process, he is creating a gift. But after Christmas is over, he created a gift and he's not working in the shop anymore. And so sometimes as Christians, I think sometimes we forget that, okay, well, I'm better. I got that. I did well today. But we have to keep continually creating. It's an ongoing thing. It's constant. It's ongoing, never ending. One thing also that I think in our lives sometimes is never ending is sometimes we get on this merry-go-round of stress and busy. How are you? Oh, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so stressed. And guys, that's a dangerous place to be. Because it just goes and goes and goes. And we have to intentionally get off of that and get onto something that brings peace and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if we'll stay on that continual process, your lives will be changed. Our lives will be so different. And we will be able to hear one day, good and faithful. Well done. Mm. You did well, my Hallelujah. Good and faithful servant. And finally, I just think it's really important that we protect what he creates. And it's important that we protect what we have created. If we've created time, like we've heard here, keep that, protect that. Because I guarantee you, somebody will call and say, hey, let's go do this. Or, you know, something comes up. If you don't make yourself, if you're not protecting what you have created, then it's so easy to break it. It becomes a habit, which is a good habit. Not all habits are bad, but we want to protect that. And so I just think it's important that we guard what God is doing.
Amen. Got anything?
Just real quickly, I actually have, it's not just one and done written down here. And I'll just give you a scripture to follow up that, and that's all. You know, in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, then he said to the crowd, said, if anybody wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up my cross. When? When? Come on, this isn't youth group. When?
Today.
Daily. Every day. Take up my cross daily and follow me. It's not just a one and done. I mean, we have to daily, and let me just say this. Everything I've said up here this morning, I've said to myself. I mean, I just have. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, just like she said, it's not one and done. This has to be a continual thing. Take it daily and follow him.
Come on, did you hear anything this morning that encouraged you? Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with us.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.